Good morning once again.
Morning. It's good to be here this morning. And it's a beautiful day out. It's good to be out and be with the church community, a church family. It's hard to believe that it's almost the end of the year. Just a couple of weeks away, if you think about it, and it'll be 2023. Time is flying by fast. Couple of things I want to mention before we start our lesson this morning. I will be leading a biking trip to Virginia Creeper on October 22, and we'll meet here at 6 in the morning, and we'll be a four-hour drive from here. That's October 22, so if you're interested with that, on that, there's a sign-up sheet on the foyer to the left. You're coming up from this door. Also, October 30, we have a distinguished speaker. Bruce McClarty was the president of Harding University in Searcy, Arkansas, where I went. He's a native of Cookeville, Tennessee. He's a really great speaker. He has a way of making the words of the Bible come to life. When I was in Harding, he would always smile. Wherever you see him, he'd be smiling at you, regardless if you know him or he knows you or not. He's a great person, so that will be the last Sunday of this month. Also, the last Sunday of the month, that evening, Briar will be delivering the Word of God to us. So we have two special treats that Sunday, that last Sunday of the month. This quarter is about sustaining faith in the family, And our main theme, the overarching theme for this year is building stronger for families. And we're trying to, as ministers, we're trying to create lessons that would cater to this overarching theme. And this quarter is about faith or sustaining faith in the family. We are trying to address how to sustain in the faith, how to sustain faith in the family when it comes to changes, when it comes to transitions, when it comes to the drastic speed of change that we see in the community. How can we maintain the faith in our family, and not just maintain, but keep that faith growing? So that's the thing that we want to address this quarter. And I believe it will be a good lesson, a good series for us this quarter. So I hope that we look forward to that. I am personally looking forward to that, but I hope that we have that in the back of our head. But this morning, it's about understanding faith. So my job this morning is just kind of set the stage for this quarter, and it's about understanding faith. But before we go there, I'd like to start with a prayer. Most loving Father, we're grateful for the family that are here, the brothers and sisters in Christ, everybody that are here, the men, the women, the children. We're just very grateful that they have chosen to spend time with you and with us this morning. I pray, Lord, that you will bless them, give them peace, and give them the confidence that what they're doing is something that pleases you and that something that you long for. I pray that as we study your word this morning, may we come with a humble heart so that we get to dwell with in your word with humility and accept it with the confidence that we will change our lives and make our lives better. Be with us and bless our time. This is a prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me start with a series of questions this morning. Now, what is your long-term goal in life? What is your long-term goal in life? And I don't think somebody has asked you the question recently. What is your long-term goal in life? And that question is important because it helps us to direct our lives properly. When you have a long-term goal, then all your energy, all your resources are devoted to that goal, whatever that goal may be, whether that's 10 years down the road, 20 years down the road. If you have a goal, it makes your life easier, right? You're not wasting any time. You're directing your life towards a specific goal. The other question is, what kind of legacy are you leaving to your family, to your kids, to your grandkids? What kind of legacy are you leaving to your family, to your kids, and to your grandkids? And this is also an important question. And it's because most times our focus is towards the material wealth. Like, I'm going to leave this lump sum here. I'm going to leave this land here. I'm going to leave these material things over here to my kids and my grandkids. And that's good. But there's something that we're missing when it comes to legacy. Brother Mark will talk more about this next Sunday. But there's something that is missing about leaving a legacy. And like what I said, he will go into details about this next Sunday, and this is going to be a really good lesson for us. Most people have this tendency to work so hard and earn money, but at the cost of their two things, health and family. We work so hard in earning money, but at the cost of health and family. And that's not a good thing, right? When you're overworking, when you're doing extended hours of work, but at the cost of your health and at the cost of your family, that's not a good thing. There's something there that needs to be fixed. We want to improve our lives and have financial freedom, but most of the time, it comes at the point of bankrupting the wholeness of the family and the spiritual wellness of the family. Ooh, that's a problem. At the point of bankrupting the wholeness of the family and the spiritual awareness of the family. That's an issue. That should not be how we direct our life. That should not be how we think of our work. It should not be to the point of breaking our family. It should not be to the point of disregarding our health. Because that's not what work is, right? So the question is, what are we doing so that we are making a point of living a right legacy for our family? Again, that's not my topic this morning, but I just want to introduce that so that we get to that mindset. If there's anything that happened recently, it's a reminder to us, the Hurricane Ian, a reminder to us that the material wealth is fleeting. If you've seen the devastation, it is heartbreaking. It's very similar to what usually occurs in the Pacific, in the Philippines. But more worse in Florida, because it's not something that you'd see, boats that were piled up and grounded, houses that are flattened, cars that are just floating. These are hard-earned money of people. These are millions, the yachts that are really beautiful. There's hundreds of thousands of money, of dollars, and millions of yachts that's just devastated, broken. So if we think about that, we get to a point where we realize, you know, material wealth is not really what is important when it comes to the big picture of life. That is what I want to leave to my kids. But I'm glad that the parents in this congregation have worked so hard. All of us are hardworking people. And we've tried our best to provide to our kids, to our grandkids, not just the food on a daily basis, but also a good amount of money and land and wealth. And I'm glad that we have that capacity to do that, to think of our kids and grandkids. I just hope that we also add to that this one thing, this faith. We add faith to these things that we will leave to our family. So the question this morning, the main question of this lesson this morning is, what is faith? What is faith? There's a good text for us to start with, and it's in Hebrews chapter 11, where we'll be spending our time this morning. If anybody comes to you and asks about faith, point them to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. So I'm going to read this section, and not all of these verses, because it's a long chapter. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith Abel brought God a better offering. By faith," I'm jumping now, these verses, "Enoch was taken from this life. By faith Noah, by faith Abraham, by faith the people that passed through the Red Sea and the dry land, by faith the walls of Jericho fell, by faith the prostitute Rahab, by faith," so on and so forth. And what shall we say about Gideon and Barak and David and Jephthah? So if anybody asks you about faith, go point them to Hebrews chapter 11, because it's a great starting point. And before we kind of dig deeper into this, there's some misconception about faith, by the way. And it's usually comes from our understanding of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. And that verse says, for we live by faith and not by sight. And the misconception is that faith is blind. That's not what Paul meant when he said that. But that's the misconception, that because Paul said, for we live by faith and not by sight, then we, as religious people, not probably us, but some people will jump to the conclusion that probably faith is blind. That's not true. That is very contrary to what Paul is. Paul is a person that loves to reason. He loves logic. He loves evidences. He loves to say things that has reason. So in a negative sense, faith is not without reasons, but in a positive way of speaking things, faith is with logic, is with evidences, and is with reason. Faith is not blind. Faith is not blind. Let me clarify that, because it's important for us as believers to get this. Faith is not blind. Actually, there's a verse that tells us in 1 John chapter 1, and the first verses of that chapter, that says, we have looked at the things that we proclaim to you, we have looked at them, we have seen them, we had heard them, meaning that the faith that they have and that it's now sharing to the church, it is with logic, it is with evidence, it's real, it's not just some sort of hearsay. So faith is not blind. Paul is not saying that faith is blind. Paul is not saying that faith is without logic or without reason. What he was saying is that we should direct our lives based on spiritual reality. We should direct our lives based on who is in charge of the future. When he said, we live by faith and not by sight. Because the context there is about dying and also looking forward to heaven. And what he was trying to impress to his readers is that our human eyesight is very limited. I started wearing glasses last week because when I take this out, that word in the exit is blurry. And this is not to make, to look cute. It's because I'm about to get blind. So while where I was sitting, these words are blurry. So my eyesight is blurry. So he was trying to impress his readers that the human eyesight is very limited. We can see as far as a couple of yards away, but we cannot see what's 50 miles, what's behind 50 miles, what's next 100 miles. We can see what's going to happen today, what we don't know, what will happen 5 days from now, 10 days from now, or 1 year from now. Even the weather app that we have, it can tell what was going to happen today. It's going to be a beautiful day. But it can exactly pinpoint where the storm will appear next. There was a talk that will happen in Tampa Bay. And people in Tampa Bay area prepared for the storm, hurricane category 4. But they didn't realize that it's going to go down to Fort Myers. So people in Fort Myers were not prepared. Some didn't go out. Some stayed in their house. And unfortunately, this morning it was reported that 60 people died on top of the devastation of the material things. But that's just to say that human knowledge and eyesight is very limited. So he was saying in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, that we need to direct our lives based on the spiritual reality, based on who's in charge of the future. So when he said, we live by faith and not by sight, he's saying, we live by faith based on the realities that we see in the future, based on who is sitting on the throne, based on Jesus. Hebrew word for... let me go back to this because this is really, really good. We are a people of God's tomorrow. Today, we are God's demonstration of tomorrow. This is one of the problems. This is more like a side comment, by the way. This is more problems when I rely too much on PowerPoint, because there are slides that I forget. But this is really good because it says we are a people of God's tomorrow. Today, we are God's demonstration of tomorrow. What that means is that this is by Augustine, one of the books that I read a couple of weeks ago. What it means is that God is demonstrating his future based on the church, based on who we are. So if you want to see what tomorrow looks like, you need to look at the church. Because that's going to be what tomorrow is, through the church. We are a people of God's tomorrow today. We are the future existing today. Because the spiritual reality is based on our narrative, the Christian narrative. The Hebrew word for faith is imuna. And imuna is actually from another Hebrew word, mother. And so they put these two words together, imuna, which means now support. So it's from the Hebrew word imu, mother. And they put that two words together, it now means support. So when people cry out, whether they're 5 years old, 15 years old, 25 years old, or however, you know, how old they may be, the first persons that they cry to, the first person that they call up for help is mama. And so when Hebrew people cry, they would say, Imu, Imu. In the Philippines, they would say, Ma, Ma, when they cry out. People, even when they're 25 years old, they still cry out to their mommy because there's this primal instinct to reach out for their mom because it's their mom that fed them, right, when they were young. It's their mom that take care of them. It's their mom that loved them. There's a tradition right now here in the U.S. This is, I think, still not common in the Philippines. When your baby comes out, you put that baby on top of your, right? Is that right here? Yes. You put that baby on top of your chest so that you make that connection right away. So it's a primal instinct for people to cry out to their mom. So when these two words are put together, it's now a primal instinct to call out to somebody more powerful than us, and it's God. So we cry out to God. That's why faith in Hebrew word was called imuna. In Greek word, it's called pistis. In Latin, it's called fides. And pistis and fides have similar descriptions about what faith is. It's described as trust, assurance, confidence, conviction, reliance, belief. There's no single word that can contain the magnitude of the word pistis and fides. So we create synonyms to try to convey the weight of the word faith. But I would like to summarize it as strong conviction, complete trust, and confidence in God. That's what faith is. Strong conviction and trust in God. It can also be described as knowledge plus trust equals faith. Or in some people's description, it is intellectual assent plus trust. Now let me break down this a little bit. Intellectual assent is more like containing the knowledge about God, while trust is more like trusting the knowledge. And people make a distinction between the two because there are instances, especially in the Bible, in James chapter 2 verse 19, where people believe, but they don't necessarily trust. They know the knowledge is right and true, but they don't necessarily trust and have confidence in the knowledge. In James chapter 2, verse 19, it says, even the demons believe. So because of this verse, people, Christians, make a distinction between intellectual assent plus trust. And that, too, creates faith. To describe it a little differently, intellectual assent is almost like, I know that going to a doctor and seeing a doctor will fix my eyesight. I know that, but I don't want to be fixed. So that's intellectual assent. And the second part of that imagery is the lack of trust. Faith is putting these two together. I know that going to a doctor will fix my eyesight, so I will go so that they can, or he can, or she can fix my eyesight. That's intellectual assent plus trust. That is faith. Let me also clarify a little bit about belief, because I put it over here. Belief is different from faith in the sense, they're connected by the way, but belief is different in the sense that belief is more like this collection of doctrines and ideas and worldview. But faith is different because faith is built on three things. It's built on the continuity of Israel. What I mean by that is that there is no nation in this world that continues to exist beginning from its origins in the old times. That's only Israel. And what comes out from that story is that there is one continuum in that story, and that story is God. That the nation of Israel continue to exist today because of their connection with God. And so we can have faith because we know this continuity of Israel. And the second source of faith is Jesus. When we ask if the Bible is reliable, we can say yes because we know that Jesus existed. If we ask the question if Christianity is a true religion, we can say yes because we know that Jesus existed. He was a real person. He died and he was crucified and he died and he resurrected. He is real. So we know that our faith is true and reliable because we know the continuity of Israel. We know Jesus. And the third source where faith is built is because of the Word of God. Because of this Bible. There is no other document in this world that can tear you, apart, but also build you up at the same time. There is no other document in this world that still has the power to change not just individuals, but also nations. There is no other document in this world that can make our lives better and understand the future except for this Bible. This is a powerful document. The Word of God is. So we know that our faith is reliable and true because of those three things. The continuity of the story of Israel, because of Jesus, and because of the Word of God. So faith is not blind. Faith is not illogical. Faith is not reckless, as the song of Jeremy Camp suggests about the recklessness of faith. If you notice, I put pictures of extreme sports, skydiving, mountain biking, mountain climbing, and other sports I could think of. I did not include here, but I purposely included these images because we have this idea that faith is being reckless. Now, faith is calculated. It's calculated based on what happened in the world 2,000 years ago, based on the culmination of Jesus Christ and his death and resurrection. So we're not just indiscriminately following faith because it's where we grew up and it's where we're born. No, because we have the Bible. Because we know Jesus. So we can say to ourselves, I believe that my faith is real because of these things. Faith is not blind. Faith is not illogical. Faith is not reckless. Faith is more than a collection of data. Faith is more than knowledge. Faith is trusting in God. Faith is having confidence in God. Faith is having assurance of the outcome. That is faith. Having assurance of the outcome. So when the author of Hebrews chapter 11 said, now faith is confidence in what we hope for, he had those on the back of his head. The faith is trusting in God. Faith is having the assurance. Faith is having the confidence. So he said, now faith is confidence in what we hope for. What is confidence? Confidence is having this absolute trust. Absolute trust that when I get on my truck, it will take me from point A to point B. Absolute trust that when I go see a doctor, the doctor will tell me my problem and fix me. Absolute trust that when I pay my taxes, the government will use it properly. Absolute trust that when I get on an airplane, this metal thing that's flying thousands of miles up in the sky will not suddenly fall to the ground. Absolute trust in the pilot's ability to fly that plane and land that plane. Absolute trust in whatever you do, that it will work out fine. That is confidence. What do we hope for? We hope for the reality that God is true to his words. In the Philippines, we have a term called palabra de honor. Palabra de honor is a term that refers to a man of his words. And that's what we hope for, that when God said, I will go and build a place for you, and then when I come back, then I hope that he is true to that word. That he will follow that. When he says that I will bless you and your kids and your great grandkids and your whole generation, your whole nation, then I trust that because he said that he is palabra de honor, he is a man of his words. I trust that. We hope that he will come again. We hope that things will become better. We hope that there's a good ending to our story, our human story. We hope that we will be reunited with our loved ones. I have confidence in what I hope for because I know he who set those hopes up for me. I know Jesus. That's why I can have confidence in what I hope for. The second part of that verse says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Assurance is having the guarantee, the insurance, the security, the promise. There's a verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 5 that says, now he who prepared for us this very purpose is God who gave us the Spirit as a guarantee. So, faith is having that guarantee. And what's the best thing about this is that it's actually not us that gave the guarantee. It's God that gave the guarantee through the Spirit. Because God knows that we have struggles with trusting and relying on him. And so he said, let me make it easier for you. Here's the Holy Spirit. So that is so much easier for you. The Holy Spirit is given to us as a guarantee, as a token, if you will, as a token that he will come back again. He said, take this ring to the seriousness of my commitment, of my love to you. It's like a marriage. Like, here's this ring. This is for you. This is my Spirit to make certain that I will marry you, that I will come back, that you're my lover, that I am your lover, that we will be reunited. That is assurance. And the assurance that he gave us is the Holy Spirit. So when we see change in our lives, we know that God is really working. When we see love, joy, peace, and long-suffering, when those things take effect in ourselves, in our behavior, we know that the Holy Spirit is alive and working. Right? Because that is the work of the Holy Spirit. I have assurance, even though I do not see things in the future, because I know who has gone before me. And that is Jesus. We do not see how God works behind the scenes, but we can have assurance because we know through the book of Revelation that he's gone ahead of us and he has set things in order. So we can have assurance. So faith is more than a feeling. It's not a wishful thinking. Faith is believing in God and having confidence in God's ability. But I'd like to probably put a little bit of a break here. Because some of us claim that we believe in God, that we have faith in God. But the reality is, now, this may hurt your feeling, but I just want to clarify a little bit the air that we have. Because some people are easy, and I think there's a level of goodness to it, but people, the religious people, easily claim that they have faith and they believe in God. But let me say this. If you claim with your mouth that you believe in God, that you have faith in God, that you are a follower of God, and then you turn around and live in hopelessness, do you really have faith? Do you really have faith? If you claim your mouth that you believe in God, that you're a disciple of God, that you have faith in God, and then you turn around and you live your life as if it is living in hopelessness, then do you really have faith? I don't think you have faith. You're just verbally affirming what you know, but you're not trusting what you know. There's a difference there. You're just verbally saying what you want to say, but you're not living based on what you know. It's almost like saying one thing, but then doing the exact opposite of your claim. Because if I have faith, then I must live in hopelessness. Because Christians that are built on Christ and his death and resurrection are people of hope. Are people of hope. We look at our circumstances and we don't see hopelessness. We look at our circumstances and we see hope. If there's brokenness in our family, what we see as Christians is hope. There's going to be a hope of restoration, reconciliation, forgiveness, and love here. If I look at myself and the struggles that I have, then I don't see hopelessness. I see hope because I'm a Christian. I'm going to be fixed. If I see around and look at my community and see all these dark things, as a Christian, I see hope. Because that's what Revelation reminds us. Christians are built on hope. It's like a marriage of hope and faith. Faith produces hope. So Paul, I'm sorry, some argue that the author of Hebrews is Paul. Some said Barnabas. Sorry for saying Paul. But the author of Hebrews says, confidence in things that we hope for and assurance in things that we do not see. Because that's who we are. We are a people of hope. Even though we don't fully see the outcome, we believe that it's going to be a good outcome because of the person that has gone before us, Jesus Christ. We're told of the outcome in the book of Revelation about this reconciliation and love and there's going to be unification. There's not going to be tears and crying and death will be no more. We're told about that. We haven't personally seen that yet. Right? We haven't personally seen that yet. But even though we haven't personally seen it yet, we can have confidence and assurance that's going to be the outcome because of Jesus who said that and because he has gone before us. That is faith. And so faith produces hope. So we are a people of hope. So I hope you don't just say that you believe in God and have faith in God and then turn around and live in hopelessness, because that's very unchristian to live in hopelessness. So faith is saying, no matter how broken my situation is, I know and believe that there is healing because God is the healer. Faith is saying, no matter how messy my life is, I know and believe that God can straighten it up, and I trust in his ability because he is the deliverer. Faith is saying, no matter how dark this world may seem, I know and believe that God has a beautiful ending to our story because he is the one that writes it. He is the author of history. He is the author of human history. He is the director in this grand drama of good versus evil, transient and eternal. He is the director, he is the author, and he knows the ending. Faith is saying, I may not fully see. Not because I'm blind, not because I'm illogical, not because I'm reckless, but because my vision is limited. I may not fully see what's ahead, what's in the future, but I can have an assurance, I can have a confidence, I can have hope in that future because I know who has gone before me. I know Jesus. This is faith. This is faith. A biblical faith, true faith. To the members that are really part of the body of Christ, I hope that you believe in God and have confidence, absolute confidence in God's ability. All these noises are distracting us, taking that faith away from us. Don't let that happen. And this morning, if you have not yet surrendered your life to Christ, if you are one of those that have not yet made a commitment to be a member of the body of Christ, this beautiful, grand body of Jesus that he called the church. If you're not yet cleaned by his blood, baptized the water, we would like for you to consider doing that this morning. Because this world can be dark, but with Christ by your side and Christ in front of you, this world can be seen differently. From a different light, from a different perspective, to invite you to come forward as we stand and sing the invitation song.